the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Promises to love me.
We'll be right back. just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
My friends, I was converted and baptized by John the Baptist. I still remember what he said before he baptized me.
You believe in God and the confession of sins?
I do.
Do you believe that the Son of God is coming as the Messiah to save the world from sin?
I do.
With the help of God, will you live a life that will not bring his name to shame?
I will.
Do you believe in baptism by water?
I do.
Then Apollos of Alexandria, I shall baptize you in the river Jordan.
Men and friends, I am unworthy of myself to stand here and preach to you. But I have a message that God has ordained that you shall hear. It is the message preached by John the Baptist, who baptized those who believed in a coming Messiah. The promise of a Savior was first given to Adam, our father, and in conclusion, I say unto you, be of good courage. Believe on God the Father. Believe that he will send a Redeemer, as testified by the prophets of old. Live a life pleasing to God and according to his words and laws, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.
He is a good speaker, eloquent, and he has a mighty way in explaining scripture, simple yet powerful.
After listening to him, I do believe that the Messiah we have looked and hoped for will soon come.
Apollos, born and brought up in Egypt, knew only the preaching of John the Baptist. Being ignorant of Jesus and his death, resurrection and ascension into heaven, yet also fervent in spirit, he spoke and talked diligently the things he had heard from John the Baptist. And it came to pass that, in the process of time, Apollos came to the city of Ephesus and began to speak boldly in the Israelite synagogue. Meanwhile, Priscilla and Aquila had moved from Corinth to Ephesus. There they heard Apollos preach.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, repent of thy sins, live a holy life, and worship the God of our fathers, and thou shalt be saved into eternal life. Amen.
He's an eloquent speaker and seems to know the scriptures up to the time of John the Baptist.
He said, remember, that he preaches the message of John.
Could it be that he doesn't know about Jesus?
It doesn't seem possible, yet he does come from the distant land of Egypt.
Shall we invite him home with us and speak to him about Jesus?
Well, I'm sure Jesus and Paul would want us to.
You say his name was Jesus, born in Bethlehem?
Yes, and that fulfills prophecy concerning his birth.
He was scorned, spat upon, reviled, and nailed to the cross?
The minds of men could not devise more cruel and shameful things than were done to Jesus.
Well, that fulfills scripture. As to his resurrection, is it possible that his body was stolen from the tomb? Did anyone see him walk from the tomb alive?
That is one of the many instances where God's providence overrules all things. Caiaphas, the high priest, Annas, the ex-high priest, and other temple leaders wanted to make sure the body was not stolen. So they did the very thing that proves his body was not stolen and that he was resurrected. They placed 100 soldiers at the tomb to guard and make sure no one disturbed it. And they placed a seal on the rock entrance to the tomb. The guards saw an angel, bright as the sun, roll the huge stone from the tomb entrance and call for Jesus to arise and come forth.
I did hear something once, but I thought they said the guards swore that someone stole the body.
Caiaphas and Annas paid them to say that. A little ironic, isn't it? The 100 soldiers who were to make sure Jesus' body stayed in the tomb are actually unwilling proof that he was resurrected.
I suppose Jesus was seen after his resurrection.
By many people. They talked, walked, and ate with Jesus. They saw and felt the nail prints in his hands and feet. He was seen ascending into heaven. Now, there can be no doubt but that Jesus is Christ, that he ascended to God the Father and now intercedes in our behalf.
I believe. I was baptized by water. Now I want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Then I want to tell the whole world that the Messiah has come and that they can be saved by believing and repenting.
Paul raised up a large church in Corinth, but they are new in the faith and need help and guidance. Why don't you go there?
Will they allow me to work among them? I have been desirous of going to Achaia.
Well, the church here will write a letter asking them to receive you.
Time passed. Apollos became a mighty worker for the Lord, and many souls were added to the church. But soon, dissension arose. The brethren disagreed. The church was about to be split apart.
Oh, I think Paul is the greatest. I am saved because of him.
I am of Apollos.
And Cephas is the greatest of all gospel workers. I glory in him.
You're all wrong. We are of Christ.
Paul was instructed by the Lord to utter words of earnest admonition and solemn protest. He wrote a letter to the believers in Corinth.
Is Christ divided? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas? Let no one glory in any man, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. They are all yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Therefore glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Do not take the Lord's name in vain.
If your feelings get hurt and your toys fall apart and you have a sad feeling deep in your heart and you want to go out but it's raining out there, I want you to know I care. When they take you someplace and you sit in a chair, I want you to know I care. When you tell a big lie and cause a bad scene, when being grown up is a faraway dream, when they're filling your teeth and cutting your hair, I want you to know I care. I care. I do. There's no one like you. I mention your name when I'm saying my prayers. I want you to know I care. A bad cold and you can't go out, when you're sick for a week with that thing in your mouth, when you sleep in the dark and there's something out there, I want you to know I care. I care. I do. There's no one like you. Sometimes you act like a grouchy old bear. I want you to know I care. I just love you too much.
I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time.
My, you guys are in great voice. Thank you for singing so beautifully. Okay, Kids Bible Club, tonight we continue to hear from our members about their favorite Bible text. Henry, I think it's your turn this week.
Thanks, Pastor Perez. My favorite Bible text is the very first one in the Bible, Genesis 1:1.
Okay, let's all open our Bibles to that passage. Henry will read the text and then tell us why it's important to him.
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Wow, Henry, very impressive reading.
I wanted to sound like one of those preachers on TV.
And you did. So tell us, why is that verse so important to you?
Because of monkeys.
Hey, Henry, been looking in the mirror lately?
Thank you, Hannah. Let's let Henry talk now. You'll get your turn.
Yeah, Hannah, let's let Henry talk. Anyway, the other day I was reading about monkeys and dinosaurs, and the book said that dinosaurs roamed the earth millions of years ago and that humans were once monkeys.
Some still are.
Thank you, Hannah.
But the text and the other texts in Genesis say that we didn't come from monkeys. God created us. I like that better. I'd much rather have been created by someone who loves me instead of just becoming me after I was a monkey or something strange like that.
Well put, Henry. I agree. God is our creator. Genesis 1:1 reminds us of that fact. Give Henry a big hand for his great reading and lesson.
Oh, very funny.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 6. It's Missing. Bright shafts of light stream through Maria's bedroom window. When the alarm clock buzzer buzzed for the 10th time, a hand shot out from underneath the pillow and covers and shut it off. You better get up, Maria. We have to leave in an hour for the church. Mr. Vargas's rich baritone voice called from downstairs. Why does Dad always have to sound so happy in the morning? Maria wondered as she started to drag herself out of bed. Suddenly, Maria's eyes flashed open. Today is Aunt Angie's wedding day. She must be really happy, and I should be happy for her, too. Somehow, this was the first time Maria thought about being happy for Angie instead of feeling sorry for herself. I really have been selfish, she decided. All at once, she was eager to go to the wedding. She flung the covers off and stood up. Hey, she said out loud, my neck doesn't hurt at all. Just to test it out, she tossed her black hair behind her shoulders with a flick of her head. After showering quickly, she dressed in a pair of nice jeans and a shirt. Before leaving her room to go downstairs to eat breakfast, she took the dress out of her closet and laid it on the bed. As usual, Mr. Vargas was pacing back and forth, waiting for everyone to get in the car so they could leave. He glanced at his watch and paced harder. Maria! Yo-Yo! Chris! He called upstairs. Coming, Chris said. I'm coming, too, Yo-Yo announced as she lugged her doll Liberty and a pink suitcase full of doll clothes downstairs. Chris was right behind her. He was wearing his blue suit. What are you going to do with Liberty and all those clothes, Yo-Yo? Going to dress her up for the wedding, Yo-Yo said. Maria was carrying her dress. She went outside and got in the car with Yo-Yo and Chris. Mom and Dad came out a few minutes later, and soon they were on their way to Angie's wedding. Mrs. Vargas started going through her checklist. Everyone have their seatbelts fastened? Yes, Chris, Yo-Yo, and Maria said in unison. Yo-Yo, did you bring your blue barrettes for me to put in your hair? Uh-huh. Mrs. Vargas turned her head to see Chris. You certainly look nice, Chris. Maria felt sort of funny being the only one in the family who wasn't dressed up already, but Mom had said it would be a good idea to wait and get dressed at the church. That way nothing disastrous would happen to the dress before the wedding. Maria gazed out the window. Springtime was her favorite time of the year. It was warm outside. The trees and grass and flowers smelled pretty. Suddenly, she was incredibly happy. This is going to be the best wedding, she decided. Angie and Ben are going to have a beautiful wedding, and I'm going to be part of it. When they drove into the church parking lot and got out, Mrs. Vargas noticed Maria's happy attitude. You seem awfully happy all of a sudden, Maria, she said. Maria laughed. I am. This is going to be the best wedding. I'm happy for Angie. Maria locked her arm in her mom's, and they walked into the church together. Maria even felt like skipping. She felt so happy all of a sudden that she was sure nothing could ruin the day. Absolutely nothing. Several people were already unloading stuff in the multipurpose room for the reception that would start after the wedding. Mrs. Swartz, one of the deaconesses, came over and asked Mrs. Vargas if she could help cover tables and arrange centerpieces. Hello, Maria, she said after a moment. Hi, Mrs. Swartz. When Mrs. Swartz saw the dress, she drew in a deep breath and seemed to be genuinely admiring it. Why, that is beautiful, Maria. I'm sure you look very pretty in it. Maria blushed. She sort of wished she could run and put it on right away. She's absolutely beautiful in it, Mrs. Vargas agreed, winking at Maria. Maria knew what the wink meant. It meant that Mom had been right all along, and that most of the time moms were right, and that their children should try to remember it. Maria smiled back. Can I go put it on right now? Maria asked after Mrs. Swartz had left. Let's wait for a while, Mrs. Vargas suggested. I need to help with the tables first. Why don't you lay the dress on this table while I go find a hanger to hang it on? Maria noticed that some mother had left a diaper bag on the table, too, and she wondered whom it belonged to. When she looked around, all she could see was a strange man holding a small baby. The diaper bag must belong to him, Maria thought. Just then, Jenny opened a door, and Mrs. Wallace came in holding a wide box. She gently carried it over to another table and set it down. Maria thought she could see beads of perspiration on Mrs. Wallace's forehead. Hi, Jenny, Maria called. Jenny saw Maria and waved. Mrs. Wallace went out and brought in one more big box and set it beside the first box. Hi, Maria, Jenny said when her mother came back in and she could close the door. You must be really excited. Maria smiled. I'm a little nervous. I probably won't even be able to walk up the aisle by the time the wedding starts. Jenny, will you help me set up the wedding cake? Mrs. Wallace asked. She had already taken the biggest cake out of its box and set it on the table. Jenny very carefully lifted the second biggest cake to her mother. Maria didn't think she had ever seen a cake so beautiful. It was round and had three layers, and each layer was held up by four white columns. It made her think of pictures she had seen of buildings that had white marble columns. Mrs. Wallace took the last layer and carefully set it on top. Maria giggled when Mrs. Wallace finally took her hands away from the cake because everyone seemed to have been holding their breath, even Maria. But Mrs. Wallace took the biggest breath when it was finished. She sighed and let her shoulders drop. "Whew," she said. "I'm glad that's finished." "It's the most beautiful cake I've ever seen, Mrs. Wallace," Maria exclaimed. "How do you make all those flowers and leaves?" Maria stepped a little closer to the cake, but not too close. She didn't want something to accidentally happen to it. "Thank you, Maria. I must say it takes a lot of time and patience to make all those flowers." Mrs. Wallace started to explain how to make flowers out of frosting. "First, you put a piece of wax paper on a little plastic stick with a platform on it. Then take a tube of frosting with a wide, thin tip on it. Twirl the stick." "Oh, no!" Maria's hand flew up to her mouth as she looked over Mrs. Wallace's shoulder. "Look!"
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.